is Psalm 107, verses 19 through 22. In the King James Bible, it reads, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Ushers, you may be seated. We're going to talk about a reminder to give thanks. Everybody needs a reminder every now and again to give thanks to God. And then when you give thanks and you remember to give thanks, I want you to pass that thought on to your neighbor. See, because some folks, I refer to it as blessing burnout. We have so much, we just take it for granted. When Brother Chad was talking about water, roads, he's over in a place right now where people don't even close the window because there ain't no window. And we would be aghast. But y'all, even in the midst of all of that, you give thanks. Even the folks in Puerto Rico, as difficult as their situation is, need to give thanks. Because if you wake up, you got a chance. And you do live in the best country on the planet, where you can say, we need some money. And have an expectation of some federal help. Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico. Wait a minute. How does that work? Where you just say, I need money, and it come. It's America, y'all. It's America. God blessed America. Brother Fox was talking about it this morning. 1620, that's when the pilgrims came. The pilgrims came here to be evangelists. They didn't come here to conquer. They came here to be evangelists. And they came, and in 1621, we had our first Thanksgiving. Because they said God was so faithful to them, and they invited everybody to come and celebrate what God had done. Now, has everything gone right and everything gone well in this nation? Heavens no. But I challenge you to show me a nation, any nation on the face of this planet where everything has and does. But I will tell you this, in America, old Don King with his crazy self, some of y'all older folks, you know Don King. Don King said, where else can you go to bed broke and wake up a millionaire? He said, God bless America. And that's a man who had done time in prison. Let us not lose focus of God's blessings, y'all. The Bible tells us over in Luke. Tells us over in Luke chapter 17. Just mark this down. I'll take Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. The Bible gives an account of where Jesus is in the area. And he sees 10 lepers. Now, y'all understand, leprosy is a fatal disease. Leprosy represents sin in the Bible. Because once you have leprosy, it's there. It's you could just start counting off the days before pieces of your body start falling off. Everything atrophies, everything dries up, and it just falls off. And if you go online, you'll see some horrific pictures of people with leprosy. And here was 10 lepers. 10 lepers. And the Bible says that Jesus, they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus healed them. He took the time out, and he healed them. And then the Bible says all 10 of them left, and then one stopped and turned around and said, thank you. See, I'm afraid that that's some of what's going on with us here in America. We got so much. We just, you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? Didn't I heal 10? And only one came back to say thank you, and that one was a Samaritan. That means he was a foreigner. He was an outsider. And the outsider, because he was the one who wasn't used to having all the blessings. See, when folks come here from other countries, y'all, we're blessed to have folks here from other countries right in our congregation. Ask them, why are you here? Well, that's a stupid question. I'm here because I don't want to be there. I got it better here. Amen. What, you mean with as messed up as we are? Yes. And we are, look, we are messed up. But we are blessed. We are blessed. If we could just get the folks in the church, if we could just get God's folks to look at what God has done and what God is doing, and most of all, what he's capable of doing through you. No, not for you to come to be entertained, but for you to come to be encouraged so that you can get up and you can go and do the work of the ministry. You and I, we go out together. We go out and we give the gospel to a lost and dying world. And it's supposed to be our primary mission, church. And sometimes we lose focus of it because we're job chasing, we're school chasing, we're TV chasing, we're man chasing, we're woman chasing. We're doing something, anything other than what we've been called to do. And then you wonder why in this nation you have so many people suffering with depression and frustration. Could it be that we're not doing what we've been called to do? Do you know how exhilarating it is? I want you to know how exhilarating it is to walk up on somebody at the gas station. Walk up on somebody at Costco and say, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? You know, get all the little idle chit-chat out the way. How about them Cowboys? And then you say to them, oh, where do you go to church at? Do you know Jesus and the pardon of your sins? Well, until you do it, when you're talking to them and they say, well, I'm not that interested in that Jesus stuff. You know, hey, me and God got a special thing worked out. Really? Tell me about it. Until you take the time out to get into a conversation like that with somebody, a stranger who's lost and on his way to hell, until you take time out to do that, you will never know what you were called to be doing. That is your purpose. That is my purpose, to glorify God with everything that we say and that we do. In this text today, now, in this entire psalm, they have four narratives as to where God steps in and saves people. Four different narratives. But I'm just going to pick out a portion of this one. I'm taking the portion of this text just to expound on and to show you from other places in Scripture, just to let you know how much God wants to do for you, how much he expects out of us. Oh, man. In verse 19, we're going to talk about how the Lord saves. The Lord saves. He says, verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 18:31. 2 Chronicles 18:31. And I'm going to give you some background on that. Because the Bible is written so that we might all understand that God saves, God heals, and God delivers. Church, he's always able. I don't always know what he's going to do, but I want y'all to know he's always able. In this text in 2 Chronicles, we're talking about King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was a great king. He was a mighty man of God. He loved the Lord. He did everything the Lord was doing, what the Lord wanted him to do. But King Jehoshaphat had a problem that I'm afraid too many Christians have. It's a disorder called FOMO. F-O-M-O. That's the acronym for it. It's a disorder called FOMO. Fear of missing out. See, we hang out with low-life people in low-life places doing low-life things because we have a fear of missing out. And Jehoshaphat is a prime example. Here, Jehoshaphat is a godly king. He's a godly king. He loves the Lord. He's done everything God told him to do. But here comes along King Ahab, who is one of those of the baser sort. Ahab, who did everything wrong that he could think of against God. Ahab comes along to Jehoshaphat. He says, hey, Jehoshaphat, come on. Come here. Let's go on up to Ramoth Gilead and take back our land. Now, I say this about Christians, people who name the name of Christ. As soon as Ahab said, come here, Jehoshaphat should have turned and went in the opposite direction. But because he thought that if I hang out with this low-life man, if I go do some low-life living, I won't miss out on the action. He was suffering from FOMO. I don't want to miss out on the action. I want to talk like the world. I want to walk like the world. I want to act like the world. I want to drink like the world. I want to smoke like the world. I want to do everything that the world do so they don't know that I'm really saved, sanctified, and set apart. Church, don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of the blood. Don't ever be ashamed of the blood. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, he said, come on, let's go up here to Ramoth Gilead. And let us go take back our land. And Jehoshaphat said, okay. And so it's a lengthy story, but bottom line, here's what it comes down to. Jehoshaphat goes into league with Ahab. And he knows Ahab is no good. He knows it. Children, when your mama tell you to stay away from that boy, well, mama, that's my friend. He ain't no good. Mama, how you judging people? Because he ain't no good. All through Proverbs, son, stay away from that girl. That's called low-hanging fruit. Leave her alone, son. Leave her alone. Oh, but daddy, I love her. Oh, daddy, she loved me. She ain't no good. Well, who are you to judge? I'm just observing what the Bible has said. She ain't no good. He ain't no good. Well, mama, you did such and such. Daddy, you did such and such. And you know what? They're absolutely right. And my daddy told me, son, she ain't no good. He told his daughters, he ain't no good. Well, daddy, you went ahead and did what your daddy told you not to do. I sure did, and I paid a price. I paid a horrible price. You looking 20, 30 years down the road. I'm trying to get you to not be as stupid as I was. I'm trying to get you to listen to wisdom. I'm trying to get you to the point to where you won't say, I have to experience it for myself. Do y'all know, realize how many people are in the grave because they had to experience for themselves? Listen to wisdom. Learn from wisdom. Don't have that fear of missing out. Understand that if mom and daddy tell you to walk this way, some of it they know by bad experience. Some of it they know straight from the word of God. Listen to them. They fed you when you didn't even know what your name was. They took care of you. Listen to your mama and your daddy, and it'll go well with you. Back to Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat knew the word of God, and he knew he shouldn't be hanging out with Ahab. And he really should have known he shouldn't have been hanging out with Ahab when Ahab said, okay, we're going to go up to the battle. And when we get up here, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm going to make myself look like a regular soldier. I want you to leave on your kingly robes. I want you to look like the king. And I'm going to disguise myself. Now, if Jehoshaphat didn't catch it before, somewhere down the line, I keep thinking Jehoshaphat wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. But you know what? I was Jehoshaphat. My friend said, hey, Will, there's a thing going up at Kent State. Now, they just had 4 people shot up at the university. My senior year in high school. Hey, let's go up to Kent State and see what's going on. Well, we know what's going on. It's in the newspaper. 4 people got shot. They wrote a song about it, 4 dead in Ohio. And we went up. I jumped in the car. In fact, I drove. The Bible says, be careful about those who are swift. Their feet are swift to go and shed blood. He says, get away from them. My mom and dad said, get away from them boys. Ah, they didn't know. Y'all, we get up there. There's the police. There's the National Guard. There's everybody. And all I remember is a bunch of people running my way, shouting, they got tear gas. Why was I there? FOMO. I wanted to look like the world. I wanted to act like the world. I want to try to blend in with the world. Just like Jehoshaphat, when the enemy saw Jehoshaphat dressed up like a king, and they came after him because they wanted to get the king, and the Bible says Jehoshaphat, what's it say here in verse 31, chapter 18, verse 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat did what? Cried out. When I saw that tear gas and that National Guard and all them police, Mama told me not to come. But it seemed like I'm suffering from FOMO. Too many folks in the church today, you got FOMO. You don't want to miss out on nothing that the world is doing. But I want you to know our God is so faithful. He's so good. He's so loving. He's so kind. The Bible says that when they cry out, he says in verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and God saves them out of their distresses. He says when they cry out, he said when trouble come, you cry out. I don't care if you, sometimes you end up in trouble and it wasn't your doing. It wasn't because you was just suffering from FOMO. Sometimes you just end up in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong folk. Sometimes you got yourself in that situation. If you take notice in this text, it doesn't matter to God how you got there. He's that kind of a God, church. He's the kind of God that in you end up there where you just cry out, where you stop pretending that it don't hurt, where you stop pretending that you got it all under control. He said, cry out. And he says, and in your distress, I'll come running. Oh, what mighty God we serve. When any of y'all get stuck in that situation, cry out. But for those who have already been in that situation, I want you to give God thanks. And then I want you to tell somebody else how he delivered you out of your not so thinking. Because God saves. Pass it on. The Bible says in verse 20, chapter 107, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God saves. God heals. We talked about good King Hezekiah last week. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20. Good King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. Hezekiah was a great king. Great king. He did all kinds of things to serve God. He loved the Lord, but after God gave him so much, it's kind of like folk in America, it's kind of like Christian folk in specifically. After God has given us so much and done so much, he kind of got, the Bible says that Hezekiah got lifted up. He got lifted up in pride. You know what that means? Let me explain to you what it means when it says he got lifted up in pride. That means that Hezekiah started thinking that all of his good fortune was due to Hezekiah. Now, I know none of y'all think like that. I know none of y'all think your degree got you that job. None of y'all think that y'all connections and the hookups with this, you know, my networking. My ability to do interviews. But Hezekiah had acquired a lot of stuff. He had a lot of stuff. He had rooms and rooms and rooms of gold and silver and precious stones. By the way, you could have rooms and rooms of precious stones and silver. You ain't taking none of it with you. None of it's going to go with you. What you need now and what you're going to need when you leave here is Jesus. And I got news for you. If you don't have him now, you won't have him when you leave here. He says, while you have breath, you have to make a decision. Call on the Lord. He says, if you call on the Lord, if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, confess him with your mouth and believe him in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Now, you got to make that decision now. You don't be talking, well, I think, I hope, I wish. I'm here to tell you that God heals. He'll either heal you here or he'll heal you on the other side, but he will heal you. But here's what we have here in this text. Hezekiah got lifted up in pride. Hezekiah got lifted up in pride, and he started showing off all of his stuff and everything. And the Bible says that God smote Hezekiah with sickness. He put a sickness on Hezekiah. And then he had Isaiah go and tell Hezekiah that this sickness is unto death. Would God do that? That's what the books say. He said, this sickness is unto death. But we pick up here in 2 Kings chapter 20. What you don't see in this part, but we did see in our other text, is that once Hezekiah got the news that his sickness was unto death, the Bible says he turned his face to the wall. Turned his face to the wall. And he prayed. 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 And he asked God to heal him. He asked God to undertake his life. He asked God. He said, Lord, deliver me. God, take care of this. And this is the part that's in the background, y'all. We see where Hezekiah's got his face to the wall. All hope is gone. As far as Hezekiah is concerned, all hope is gone, church. But in verse 4, chapter 20, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord, look what it says here in verse, back in 107, Psalm 107, verse 20. And he sent his word over here in verse 4, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 4. And it came to pass before where Hezekiah was going out into the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Amen. We got a God, not only does he save, we have a God who heals. Anybody here been healed besides me? Anybody in here been healed by God? Has God ever fixed your knee? Has he ever fixed your foot? Has he ever fixed your head? Has he ever fixed your back? Has he ever fixed your wallet? Has he, anybody? He says, understand. So when you know it, then you pass it on to somebody else. Because there's a whole lot of folks out there who don't know it. There's a whole lot of folks out there who deny it. They don't know and they don't want to acknowledge the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And you have it. He's got it locked up in clay pots. And he says, all I want y'all to do, all I want y'all to do, look, what can we give God? What can you give him? Other than thank you. What can you get? What does he need? You're going to get him a new tie? You're going to get him some socks? What are you going to give God? Other than your praise. Your praise, a sacrifice of praise. When he's saved you, you pass that on. Don't be shy. Don't be tight-tongued. Don't be beating around the bush. When he's healed your body, don't be beating around the bush. People say, well, that was, you know, scientifically speaking, that was unpopular. Shut up! I know what he did for me. And you have to, in church, we have to be as bold in God's righteousness as you were in your own unrighteousness. Because when we was unrighteous, what did Dr. Reed used to tell us over at Southern Bible? As one of our professors over at First School, me and Brother Fox's. Dr. Reed said, he was ignorant and proud of it. I said, I think he just besmirched my mind. But he was telling the truth. I stood bold for the devil. I stood bold for the devil. And then when folks start talking about Jesus, I get all tight-tongued. I get all, well, you know, I don't want to force my religion on anybody. Shut up! Where you get that from? They're going to force their nonsense on you. At some point in time, in the church, I'm not talking to the folks outside the church, I'm talking to the folks in the church. You have to get some Holy Ghost boldness. You have to be willing and ready and able to stand up and say, God, save me. I was on my way to hell and he saved me. I was on my sick bed. Nobody could do nothing for me. And God healed me. He gave me some time. He gave Hezekiah 15 more years. I'm working on my next 30. Yeah. I'd asked him, y'all. Will he do it? I don't know. Can he do it? Yes, I know. I know he can do it. Amen. We talk about what God saves and we give thanks. God heals and we give thanks. Let's talk about in verse 20 where it says, and God delivers. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It talks about where God, we'll go to a text where it talks about how God delivered. I love this text. Psalm 34, 3 and 4. I want y'all to know the reason I give you these texts is because I want to whet your appetite so that when you go home, because I see you writing them down, I want that you'll go home and read some more of what God has done, because it's the marvelous things that God has done that encourage us to do more for him daily. So if you know more about the word of God, you know who you're calling on. Over here in Psalm 34, 3 and 4, it says, I'll start with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. This is David. This is a psalm of King David. Magnify the Lord with me. Excuse me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Y'all, this is King David's response to what took place in 1 Samuel chapter 21, the whole chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 21. The whole chapter is dealing about a situation that David found himself in. David was on the run. Now, everybody knows King David, he's a man after God's own heart. But y'all do realize that David went through some trials. David went through some tribulations. Yes, David killed Goliath, but David had to deal with some stuff, y'all. David lost his first child. David was an adulterer. David was on the run from King Saul. David had to go through, how do I say it? David had to live a life. And he still was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. He didn't always serve the Lord just right, y'all. But he loved the Lord, and he knew that when he needed deliverance, he called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, here's the account. David is on the run from Saul. Saul has vowed to kill him because he doesn't want David to overtake his throne. So David's on the run, and he goes to the priest, Achish. And he says to the priest, he says, I need some food. I need some food and I need a weapon. And the priest gave him food. And then the priest said, the only weapon we have here is Goliath's sword. You know, David had killed Goliath and the sword was still there. The priest had it. And David said, give me the sword because there's none like it in all the land. And so then David left out. And the Bible says that David went over to Ahimelech, and he went over to the king Achish, not the Philistines, and he went over to the enemy's camp, to Achish. There you go. He went to Achish. And the Bible says that while he was there, he's in a foreign country. Saul is looking for him. He's a fugitive. Y'all know some of God's people are fugitives? Y'all know some of God's folks is on the run? Is that supposed to happen to God's folks? It happens sometimes. He's a fugitive. He's on the run. And the Bible says that when he ends over there with Achish, some of the men, he's in the court of the king, and some of the men recognize him. Because we know him as David, king of all Israel. But right now, he's just a fugitive on the run. And the Bible says some of the men recognize him. And they say, wait a minute. They said to the king, we think that's David. That's David, the great warrior. That's David, the one who's been blessed by God. That's David, the great warrior. In fact, we're looking at him and we know he's the one that the people have written songs about. He's the one that the ladies wrote songs about him. And they said that Saul killed his thousands and David killed 10,000s. And I could imagine David saying to him, shh, keep it down. Keep it down. But see, when you're one of God's folks, you can't hide that glory, y'all.
When you belong to God, you're going to stand out in the crowd.
And so the Bible says David was scared. He was scared because he knew that if Achish found out who he was and what he was about, and especially he had Goliath's sword, he's going to kill him. He knew that. So here's what David did, y'all. The Bible says David knew he was outmanned. David knew he was outgunned. So here's what the Bible said. Now, this ain't a comedy routine. This is just what happened. The Bible said David began to slobber and spit and scratch on the door, and he started acting the fool. David started acting the fool up, and he started scratching the door and slobbering and barking and howling at the moon. And the Bible says he made himself appear to be a madman. I said, oh, my goodness. King David, dignified King David, had to make himself appear to be crazy so he could get out of that situation that he had gotten into. Church. The redeemed. Sometimes you might find yourself in a situation where you got to act a fool. You got to act a stone fool just to get yourself out of the situation. And then when you get yourself out of the situation, that's where David wrote that song where he said in Psalm 30, what is it he is here? Psalm 34, 3 and 4, it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. David said, God delivered me, y'all. God delivered me. David said, I was in a life-threatening situation. We talked about how God saved. We talked about how God heals. And then here he is in a life-threatening situation. And David says, God delivered me. And David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. David said, I'm going to shout. David said, because I know how God good has been to me, but he's going to pass it on. He doesn't want to just shout by himself. When I was playing in the clubs, I didn't see it. Nobody wanted to sit in the corner and drink a beer by himself. If nothing else, he'd take all his money and invite everybody over and buy everybody around. Because he wants everybody to join in. God's saints. David said, I'm going to praise the Lord. And I want you all to join in with me. And praise the Lord. Give him his due. Stop tippy-toeing and sidestepping the goodness and the grace of God. He says, Psalm 34, 3 and 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If he did it for David, he'd do it for you. Everybody in here is dealing with some difficult situations. Everybody in here is dealing with some difficult. And what I consider difficult, you consider nothing. What you consider difficult, I consider, eh. But you know what? The Bible says you call on the name of the Lord. He says, David didn't know if anybody else knew he was in trouble. He called on the name of the Lord. Hezekiah didn't know if anybody else knew he needed healing. He called on the name of the Lord. Jehoshaphat didn't know if anybody else knew how desperate his situation was and how he needed to be saved. He called on the Lord. Church, whatever your situation is, no matter how desperate your situation is, call on the name of the Lord. He heals, he saves, he heals, and he delivers. Last part. This is a lament. Isn't it sad that God has to lament this in verse 21? A lament means it's a statement, but it's kind of a sorrowful statement. It's like, it reads, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In this text, in this Psalm 107, this is mentioned four times.
This is a lament. This is God saying to his folks who he has redeemed, and he's saying, can't I get you to at least tell somebody how good I am? Can't I get you to tell anybody about my goodness? Can't I get you to tell anybody about the wonderful works I've done in your life? Or do you just say, that was nice. That was nice, God. Oh, I had a heart attack and you got me up off my bed. Oh, thank you. That was nice. Oh, my foot was broke. I was able to go to a doctor. I was able to get my medicine. I was able to go to school. I was able to go to work. Oh, that was nice. God said, it's such a sad situation. It's a sad situation when God has to pull praise out of his people. He said, it's a horrible situation. He said, if anybody should be shouting, you got folks out here shouting over the Dallas Cowboys and they can't even play. And God got you up this morning. And God got you on your way this morning. And God brought you here in your right mind this morning. Praise God. Another way of looking at this particular text right here in verse 20 is when he says, in verse 21, rather, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. As another, when it says that word goodness, there's two ways of looking at that. Talk about God's goodness. And God is also saying simultaneously, why don't you give him praise for your goodness? You know, you think you're pretty good. You know, I do good things, Lord. I give to the poor. I help the sick. I help the needy. Well, who gave you that? Where'd you get that from? So why don't you praise him not only for his goodness, praise him for whatever little bit of goodness we have. Praise him when we do good wonders, when we give to the poor, when we give to the needy, when we do our little drives, can we praise God? That's why the lament, because there's a long line of people praying and asking God to save them. There's a long line of people asking God, heal me, Lord, heal me. There's a long line of people in desperate situations saying, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me, Lord. But then God says in verse 21, it's a very short line of folks praising him and thanking him for his goodness, for his saving, for his healing, for his delivery. Church, good shepherd, let us form a line. Let us get in line. Let us stand on top of the mountain and shout and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Good Shepherd. Thank you for the folks at Good Shepherd who love me, who pray for me. Thank you. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my healing. Thank you. I may got a little gimp still here and there, but thank you. Thank you. God says in verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving is giving God praise off your lips. Like I said, it's nothing else we can give him, y'all. There's nothing else we can give God but the praise off of our lips and serving him, to tell other folks about him. And then he says right here, he says in verse 22, give us the let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works. Declare, this word declare, it literally means start counting up. Start counting up. I had a preacher once say to me, I dare you to start trying to count the blessings that God has given you. I dare you. I dare you to stay depressed. I dare you to continue to complain about your situation. If you would just take a minute. Starts with a minute. It goes a whole lot longer if you keep counting. He says right here, let them declare my works. You take a look at your life. I take a look at my life. Start counting. Start counting. God, you gave me a mom and a daddy who stayed together for 65 years. God, you gave me a mom and a daddy. I had my daddy for 86 years. I had my mama 87 years. God, you gave me three brothers, four sisters. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we had a house, stayed in the same house with the same phone number my whole life. Thank you, Lord. We had one car, 10 people. Thank you, Lord. We got the bathroom put in the house in 1959. Thank you, Lord. I got a lot to be thankful for. I walked those planks in the wintertime. We didn't got so much. Lord, got a car. Lord, bless me with a wife. What you got to be thankful for? Speak up. What you got to be thankful for? Anything? What you got, Sister Boomy? Brother Fox, what you got? Anything? Thank him. Start counting. Start counting. And I dare you to stay depressed. Start counting. God, you're so good. 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 I got to tell folks, I can't. People tell me, well, you looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. No, I'm looking at the world through the blood. Through the blood of the Lamb. And it's all good. It's all good. Ain't nothing going to stop me. It's all good. I can do anything and everything through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And guess what? Here's the secret. You can too. But you got to give him some thanks. You got to give him some praise. And you got to believe that he is who he says he is. And he's able. He's able. He's able to do that which he said he would do. But I think that in the church, we don't believe that. We think somebody else got authority over us. Nobody. We are victorious, y'all. We are more than conquerors. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. But there is a caveat. According to the faith that works in you, if you don't believe it, it's nothing. But God said, if you believe it, you receive it, and I save you, I heal you, I deliver you, and all I want you to do is give thanks and pass it on. God bless you.